The Big D is back, Rob Ray, the music professor. Wanted to take a couple minutes here. I don't often have the opportunity to speak with a rock and roll Hall of Famer, and you don't have a lot of opportunities to see them in concert. But this Wednesday night at the Katharine Hepburn Cultural Arts Center in Old Saybrook, it is Groovin' with Gene Cornish of the Rascals. With me right now is Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, guitarist and harmonica player from the Rascals, Gene Cornish. Gene, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. It's really good to hear your voice. It's good to talk to the people and our fans in Connecticut.
Well, thank you for joining me. Now, in 1964, you were a member of a pretty big band, Joey D and the Starlighters, and you decided to branch out a little bit and form your own group. So how did that come about?
Well, I grew up in Rochester, New York. Born in Ottawa, Canada, but I grew up in Rochester, New York. I had a group called the Unbeatables. We shamelessly had a song called I Want to Be a Beatle, instead of the Beatles. And we came to New York and auditioned for the Peppermint Lounge. And we got the job. We got a residency there for 6 weeks. At the time, we were doing great, and we were playing for a lot of people who didn't have a clue who we were, but we were going over very well. When they turned over the band to another band, we went to a club around the corner that Joey D had opened up a club with a bunch of wise guys, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was called Joey D's Starlighter Club, and we played there for about 3-4 weeks. And my band decided that they missed their girlfriends at home, and they wanted to go home, and I let them go. I said, I'm not leaving here, and I got an offer to play with Joey D. He was putting together a comeback band because his hits were in the early 60s, 60, 61. And I remember playing Pep and Twist and Shout in high school.
Wow.
And so I joined Joey D, and Felix Cavalieri, who I didn't know at the time, had come back from Vegas. He was playing with a drummer named Dino Danelli out there, and he had to come back for his induction examination for the draft. And he found a way to weasel out of it, and then he rejoined the band with me, and Eddie Bugatti replaced David Bugatti, who was the original Starlighter, and that's why I met Eddie and Felix. And we played for about 4 weeks with Joey, and we had a little discrepancy and disagreement about how we should get paid.
Oh.
And we weren't getting paid, so Felix said, we should start a band. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to go home and get my laundry done and regroup and come back. But I knew that wasn't going to happen. And I had a girlfriend at the time who was a performer, and they had a minor hit record also. And they knew who Dina was, and Felix and myself and Eddie. And she said, you got to go to this rehearsal. So I went to the rehearsal. And we learned 25 songs the first day.
Wow.
In Felix's father's basement. And I still have the grin on my face 53 years later. Yesterday, by the way, last week, February 5th, which is a couple of weeks ago, was the anniversary of the Rascals' first gig at the Choo Choo Club, February 5th, 1965.
Yeah, I bet you still remember the gig, too.
Oh, very much so. I mean, we were not called the Rascals at the time. We were called Them. I came up with the name Them. I had heard somebody else say it, and I came up with that word. And about a week and a half later, Van Morrison came out with it with either Brown Eyed Girl or Gloria, and he had his band was called Them. So we were shot out of the box with that. And we had a different name. We were playing, and we had a residency at the Choo Choo Club, and we would play 6 sets a night, 40 on, 20 off, from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m.
Wow.
And so we had a different name every set. We were the Crayons, the Sardines, the Neckties. But we were wearing these knickers, which Eddie had come to the first rehearsal with. We were discussing what we should wear before Eddie got there. We didn't want to wear suits like the Beatles. We didn't want to wear jeans like the Stones. Eddie walks in wearing a pair of knickers as a joke. And we said, we got to wear the knickers. So we wore the knickers. We were called Them at the time. And after about 2 weeks of different names, Dino, who was an insomniac, would go home at 3 o'clock in the morning and watch the Little Rascals on TV on Channel 11 or whatever it was. And he came back and he said, we got to call ourselves the Rascals. And I laughed. I said, that sounds like a Las Vegas comedy act. They wrote about 100 pieces of paper the size of fortune cookie papers. And he put them in our clothes and our pockets and our hats and our shoes, everything. And we finally gave in and we became the Rascals.
When you first started recording, you were the Young Rascals.
Well, that's a whole other story. we were the Rascals, and after the Choo Choo Club, we got a gig in the Hamptons, which is like the French Riviera of Long Island. Mm-hmm. And the Hamptons had a barge. It was a barge with a club on top of it. And we were playing there. We had a residency for the whole summer. We had a cottage on the beach. It was the best summer of our lives. And we were getting a lot of write-ups because, famous people would come to see us. Betty Davis came to see us. It was like Studio 54 in 1965.
Nice.
A lot of rock stars came to see us out there. And all the rich people, and people were talking about us. And we were getting written up every day in the Daily News in New York and the New York Post. And we were getting written up as the Rascals. So just before our first record came out in October of 65, we had signed with Atlantic Records in August. Our lawyer got a letter from the Harmonica Rascals, which was a bunch of guys who dressed up as cowboys who played harmonicas. They were virtuosos like the Harmonicats. And they sent a letter saying, the cease and desist letter, we can't use the name Rascals. Our lawyers and our managers, our lawyers, and the rest of the company realized if you put a word in front of the word Rascals, we could use it. So when our record finally came out, they sent a box of 25 records over to the hotel where we were living. And we opened it up and we saw the Young Rascals. We were horrified. What is this Young Rascals? It sounds like a teeny bopper band.
Yeah.
But we had to use that name until after Groovin'. And once we had... once we were blessed with three or four hits, we could drop the name Young.
So you found out that your name had changed by opening a box of records.
That's correct, yeah.
Wow.
You know what? We were young guys.
Yeah.
They were the business people. They didn't tell us, but they didn't want us to pitch about it.
Yeah.
Because, we took ourselves very seriously. We almost thought we were black, because we were an R&B band. We're not a teeny, but we're not Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Right. Well, you did a great version of Mustang Sally.
Which our friends of mine, well, Good Lovin', first of all, came from a group called the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And Mustang Sally was written by Sir Mac Rice. We found those two songs, and we were playing them on stage long before we recorded them. Wilson Pickett got Mustang Sally from us.
Oh, okay. So he was not the originator.
No. And somebody was talking to Sir Mac Rice when he was still alive, and he said that the Rascals saved his life. At the time, when the Rascal record came out, it was the B-side of Good Lovin'. He was living in his car. He was getting his mail in his car.
Ugh.
He had no home. He was homeless, and he got a check for $60,000 from Atlantic from Mustang Sally. So he was pretty thrilled with the Rascals.
Yeah, and $60,000 in the 1960s went a long way.
You know what? When you're homeless, it goes a real long way.
Oh, yeah. During your time together, you sold 80 million records. You had 9 top 20 singles. You basically kind of went your separate ways in the early 1970s, but you continued playing with Dino Danelli throughout that decade.
Well, let me correct you first of all. We had 17 top 20 singles in
total. Okay.
Well, 3 of them were number one. 4 of them were in the top 10, and they were all in the top 20. When I left the Rascals, we had signed the Columbia Records, and Eddie had already quit. So Dino and I, after Dino fulfilled the obligation of the two albums with Columbia, we formed a group called Bulldog.
And then you also were with him in Photomaker, I believe.
That's correct, yes. 5 years later, we formed Photomaker and went back to Atlantic Records, yeah.
You formed the New Rascals. How did that come about?
We formed that actually in 93.
Oh, okay.
After we had disagreement, the lawsuit with Felix, and we settled for calling it the New Rascals, and we played for until 2010, which I ended that relationship with that band because we played for Steve Van Zandt, who's being honored at the Kristen Ann Carr Foundation, which was a cancer foundation, and they were being honored and he got us together to play for the first time since 1988. And we played for him at a benefit. And then we said to Stephen, if you ever have an idea to put us back together, you're the only person we would trust to put this back together. And 2 years later, it came up with Once Upon a Dream.
When you first got together to practice with the original members again, Dino Danelli, yeah. Eddie Brigati, and Felix Cavalieri, was it yeah. seamless, or did you say, wow, we need a lot of practice here?
No, you know what? No. Basically, we had to review a couple of things. Everything from my point of view, I knew everything that had to be played. It was indelible in my mind. Everybody came through. We only did about 9 songs for that show.
Oh, okay.
For the one show in 2010. When we got back together for Once Upon a Dream Tour, we had to do 29 songs, of which at least 7 of the songs we did were never played live.
Oh, wow.
They were just recorded, including a song that I had written and sang called Away Away. We never did the B-side of Groovin', which was If You Knew. It's Love. There were so many songs that Stephen decided to go deep into the catalog and not just play the hits. We did them in full form. They were not medleys. We actually did them. We did them correctly. We honored them religiously.
The Once Upon a Dream Tour was a little more involved than just playing your hits. Now, how long did it take to put that tour together?
You know, Steve worked on a script for 2 years, and then he worked on it with a lighting director. You know, and they put that all together. And then we did a lot of filming ahead of time. It was shown on the screen, you know, behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we rehearsed that show for about 2 months before we went on stage. Because it had timing. We had timing in our earphones as to countdowns to when we start playing exactly the video, you know.
So it was pretty synchronized.
Oh, totally synchronized. And people didn't know that. They just thought that we were just like on top of it, you know, and yeah.
Nice. Now, how many shows did you play in the Once Upon a Dream Tour?
We did 70 shows for the first time in 40 years. We did 6 shows in Westchester Capitol Theater in December. And then in April, we went to Richard Rogers Theater, did 15 shows in a row, 3 weeks. That was my favorite time. Then we went to Chicago, we did 5 shows. We went to Toronto, we did 10 shows. And, you know, for bands not been together for 40 years, to do 10, 15 shows and sell them all out, it was incredible. It was just the fans and the people who loved the Rascals showed their love so much. They had waited for 40 years. How loyal was that? You know, that you can't beat that.
You certainly can't. Now, you guys were honored in 1997 when you were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How did that make you feel? I know there are some artists today say, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's not that big a deal. How did you feel about it when you and the
other
guys?
No, we were not cavalier about it. We waited 8 years. We were nominated 8 years in a row. And didn't
yeah.
make and I remember thinking to myself as I walked up to the podium, I wanted to say, I was nervous about getting in the Hall of Fame. I thought the Archies would get in the Hall. But you know what? The Rascals were always noted to be kind of like Hatfields and McCoys, a lot of indifferences with each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, why do you guys don't get along so well? You know, the passion in the music is the passion in the personality.
Yeah.
And we saw things differently at times. A lot of lawyers kept us apart, you know.
Yeah.
Because they want, lawyers don't make money if you're getting together. They make money on differences, you know.
Yeah.
It's like they just make their money on confusion.
Yeah.
So we went along with that for a long ways, but in 2012, we put all our guns at the door. We went in and we loved playing with each other. We loved playing on stage, doing our songs. It was the best year of our lives.
Nice. Is there any chance down the road of the four of you getting together again?
There is a great possibility. We'll have to let you know on that. If I told you what's going on, I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen. So by that answer, I'm guessing you're still in touch with them.
Oh, yeah. I have dinner with Felix every couple of months.
Oh, now, wow.
I was with Eddie about a month ago. We were at a place called the Cutting Room, honoring a friend of a mutual friend who had passed away. We're doing a tribute, and we did Good Loving together. And then about 3 weeks ago, I went up to a town called Syracuse, upstate New York. I drove 250 miles to be with Felix to play a couple of songs with him. We're thinking about it. Let's leave it at that.
Okay. Well, this Wednesday night, it's Groovin' with Gene Cornish of the Rascals, 7:30 at the Katharine Hepburn Cultural Arts Center in Old Saybrook. So what will the fans see Wednesday night?
What you'll see is a great band that was put together for me by Jay Stallman and a bunch of Connecticut guys, Scott Spray, Steve Gaspar, Vito Luisi, Joe Pomerico, and basically we really honor the Rascal songs. And it's really about celebrating the songs of the Rascals and the arrangements, and we do them true to form.
That's terrific.
You'll be delighted to hear this band.
That's terrific. And it's not just a concert. You have some other things as part of the show.
I tell some stories. I expose ourselves to the real stories of the Rascals and what happened and how we got together and how we did these songs and why we did certain songs. And it's a storytelling concert.
That sounds like a great time.
Then we have a meet and greet afterwards, and we have some merchandise, CDs and photographs, and we sell and we sign autographs and get to meet the people afterwards. So it's a pretty, very personal.
A lot of artists are doing that now. They're having meet and greets after their shows. How do you like doing that?
You know, it's a chance to meet the people face to face. They always have a story to tell me about their youth and where they were and the girlfriend they were seeing, the band they played in, their high school memories, hearing us on the radio, watching us on TV. And I'm always delighted to hear these stories because it means so much to them and it means so much to me that they would care enough to share those stories with me.
It's really nice to see what impact you have on people's lives through your music.
It's surprising. It's surprising. Yeah. 50 years later that people come to me and they bring their old albums from 1966 and it's tattered, but they cherish them and they have them. And they never thought 50 years ago they would meet me and get me to sign an autograph on it. It's mind-boggling. It's just amazing.
This Wednesday night, 7:30, the Katharine Hepburn Cultural Arts Center in Old Saybrook, the Kate, Groovin' with Gene Cornish of the Rascals. You're going to hear the Rascals songs sound just like they did in the 60s when they were recorded, and you get to meet a rock and roll Hall of Famer afterwards. Gene, it sounds like a great time.
Rob, let me just say this.
Yeah.
To the people listening here on this radio show, thank you so much for your loyalty, your support, and your love. The Rascals love all of you, and we're very grateful for everything you have done for our lives. I know that we have influenced each other in some way, and I appreciate it.
Gene, thank you so much for spending a few moments with me, and we're really looking forward to the show Wednesday night.
Absolutely, Robin. I look forward to meeting you.